The coronavirus pandemic has had people cooped up at home for weeks now, which isn't easy. But imagine if you're a child who isn't safe at home. Child welfare agencies intervene in cases of abuse and neglect, and courts can remove children from parents if necessary, placing them in foster care. Most kids leave foster care. They go back home if parents address problems like getting treatment for substance abuse or mental illness or finding stable housing. Other kids are adopted or find a family through guardianship. Some age out of the system each year. All this requires monitoring and intervention by social workers and courts, and the coronavirus pandemic is making that more difficult. Joining us now is Ju-Yun Chang, who is Senior Deputy Director of the Children's Services Agency of the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. Ju-Yun, what are some of the challenges that you're dealing with because of coronavirus?
I think when I think about the challenges that the coronavirus has brought to our agency, I think about kind of the first point of contact that our families have with our system, and that's when that call comes to our hotline to report an incident of abuse or neglect. Each year, we get approximately 190,000 calls to our hotline. That translates roughly to about 500 or so calls a day. We have seen a dramatic decrease in the number of calls to our hotline since our stay-at-home order went into place. And particularly, we saw that drop the day that schools actually closed in mid-March. So we've seen over a 50% decline in the number of calls to our hotline. The drop by educators is similar to those that we see in the summer months. But I think with the stay-at-home order here in Michigan, we are not only having fewer eyes on kids at the school, but also we have fewer service providers, fewer community members who might be able to see our children and to report incidents of abuse and neglect.
Because it's not as if abuse and neglect have totally stopped in the last couple of weeks. It's simply that the kids are there home with their foster parents or whomever and aren't able to make that call in private.
I think that's right, especially when you think about most of the calls that come into our system, and certainly most of the cases that lead to an actual intervention by our agency have to do with issues around neglect, right? So often those are connected to poverty. You can imagine domestic violence, substance use disorder, and other poverty-related issues that impact our families pre-COVID. And so we know that those issues have not diminished during this time, and if anything, might be exacerbated, right? So we know that our families are at risk and they need services and supports, but they're not coming to our attention.
And even if you were to hear from somebody, can you make a visit to a home the way that you could before?
So we are continuing to do the child safety related work of investigating allegations of abuse and neglect. We have significantly changed the way we conduct those investigations in a couple of ways. One, we have reduced the number of staff who are actually going out into the public space to conduct those investigations down from about 1,500 staff members down to a little over 350 staff. But that also means that we're able to provide them intensive support and training about how to prepare for these types of in-person investigations. Also, we're able to give them the limited number of personal protective equipment to the staff who do have to go out in the public space.
And I imagine just a lot of virtual visits.
We do. So most of our staff are continuing to work, but they are doing their work virtually. So we visit with the children who are in foster care, those who may be at lower risk and are still in homes. We are doing lots of virtual visits with children and families.
The courts play a big role, too, in removing kids from parents or returning them to parents. What's happening with the courts right now?
So the courts have stayed open to do some emergency type of work, including emergency removal orders. So if a child has to come into foster care because staying at home is a safety risk for them, we can still process those orders in the court. But what we want to work with our courts to do is to also practice virtual court hearings so that other types of proceedings can continue, including helping children go back home. You know, nearly half of the kids who are in foster care, and there are about 12,000 kids in foster care in Michigan today, will go home. And a number of those children were, you know, days away from returning to their families before we had our stay-at-home order. And so we're hoping that those children will be able to get back home through virtual court orders. Also, a lot of children are waiting to be adopted and waiting just for that finalization order from the courts. And we hope that we can also work with courts to use technology to complete those adoptions.
What kind of a toll do you think this disruption is taking on both birth parents and on foster parents?
We actually have scheduled virtual town halls with both birth parents and foster parents. And in preparation for that, we've been collecting questions and emails from them for the last week. I read over 100 emails from birth parents, and you know, they're heartbreaking. They are really struggling with the separation from their children, not being able to see them in person. And that's particularly hard for parents with very young children, where a virtual visit just doesn't quite work. We also have resource parents or foster parents who are struggling with additional responsibilities, whether that is having to provide educational supports at home, maybe having to do so in greater financial burdens. You know, this is a balancing act for any family. And so our resource parents and foster parents are no different. They've been heroic. I just want to highlight that so many foster parents have stepped forward to say that they would be willing to take in a child into their home, and even willing to take children who are COVID positive into their home as a foster child.
Now, you work for a state agency at the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. Are you concerned that the economic damage caused by the coronavirus will affect the budget that you have to deal with, and you're going to be dealing with funding cuts to your agency and other social welfare agencies as a result?
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy, that's just the reality of this work. We know that there are significant resource issues for the state that will impact all of us, and not just our budget immediately, but so many of the other budgets that help the families, right, who come to our attention. Cuts in cash assistance or housing assistance, mental health services, or access to affordable substance use disorder services. Those cuts are going to be what drive families in greater numbers into our system. And so, yeah, I worry that we will make budget decisions that have long-term impacts on child safety, but also on the well-being of families and communities. What we know is that if we move further upstream and help families when they're just struggling, those interventions in the long run cost so much less, not only financially, but also at a human level, than if we wait until those problems become crisis and removal is necessary. So I'm hoping that we will be able to continue making smart investments and things that will have a larger economic payoff.
I just want to finally ask you, if one of your kids is listening to this right now, one of the kids in your system is listening, what would your message be to that person?
My message would be for our young kids, I would tell them, I know that this is tough. I know that it's been hard to be away from your parents and your siblings and your larger community, but that we are working as quickly and as hard as possible to get you back with your families. For older youth who may be close to aging out of our system, I would tell them that we are still here for you, that we will do everything in our power to keep you in stable housing, to make sure that you stay insured and that you have the services and supports that you need.
That is Ju-Yun Chang, who is Senior Deputy Director of the Children's Services Agency at the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.